Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah, be seated. Jude verse 3. Everybody read together, one, two, go. Jude verse 3, 1, 2, go. Help me nudge the person by your side. Say, contend for the faith. You know, we've been talking about this. I told you that the word is epagonizomai in Greek, and it means to compete. As though an athlete is competing to win, just the same way, you know, Arsenal fans. It sweets me. You know, just the same way Arsenal fans have been hopeful. EPL, UCL. But at least they were competing. They thought they will win. The only difference is you will win. Come on, can I prophesy? Every Arsenal spirit around you. Man tapaya. Every near success syndrome. Every year, next year. Don't worry, next year. Don't Every year we have a plan. We are building a young team, young core. Oh God. I should have brought Pastor Tomiwa here before I preach this sermon. He says, contend for the faith. Hallelujah. And what he's trying to tell you is this. Listen to me. Everybody listen to me. This is important. The gospel will not spread without a fight. Listen, you may know this in your head, but you may have a different disposition. Understand this, it won't spread without a fight. Don't think that a church will just grow unconfronted, without confrontation. It doesn't happen that way. Please, are you listening to me? Don't think that because it is true, it will be popular. He said, contend. Listen, if you understand English, you don't even have to be an expert to understand the concept of contention. Only holds sway if there is opposition. If no one is opposing you, it's not a contention. Are you getting this? It's only a contention if there is an opposition. And he wants you to know there is an opposition. You will be vehemently opposed. And so you must develop a disposition that realizes that fighting is okay. It will be uncomfortable. It won't be comfortable. But it's okay. You will be persecuted and ostracized. But it's okay. And especially in a time like this, in a day like this, it takes a strong conviction not to be part of the mob and feel okay. Come on, are you with me? Those of you who have been Christians for a while, if you were a Christian in a secular university, for instance, at least you have a clue what I'm talking about. Even for simple things like not cheating in an exam, have you been ostracized before? Have you been called? Some of you cannot relate because in the name of Christ, you still a dub. You pray before the exam, you still cheated. But you know what it means to sit beside someone who is asking what's number two, what's number three, but it violates your conviction so you can't reply and the person hates you for it. They just look at you and hate you. You know that meme? It's as they look you, I just hate you. Why you they spit on me now? Why you they spit on me? Ladies and gentlemen, a church that does not contend will die. Are you listening to me? If you are a student of history, you know it's true. A church that does not contend will die. Stop playing cute. Stop playing cute. This is not a game. This is not a game. The moment you begin to do things that the spirit realm actually acknowledges, that actually count before God, you are a target. Maybe you think it's a joke. When I tell you that in 2011, I was casting out the devil and the demon said, "We watch you from India." 2011, how many demons I don't cast that year? The work hadn't even started. And I was on the radar. Are you listening to this? What about now? When Jesus says your names are written in heaven, that your work becomes recognized. You know, I was telling some people in the office, something happened. I was told this. Reboot camp, the last day, we were waiting for Pastor Nath. You know, I like the man very much. I always talk about him. You know, we were waiting for Pastor Nath. Now, some people were casting out demons. Some pastors were casting out demons in the lounge. If Pastor Nath comes into the church, there is no way they will know until we announce with the microphone. Do you understand? Then maybe they can hear. But as soon as Pastor Nath walked into the church, the demon said, "Oh, Pastor Nath, he's around." Are you listening to this? Uh-huh. Pastor Nath is around. He used to cast us out with that his trumpet that is always blowing. This is hallelujah. You know, I had a mentor in school, and one of the people who taught me to pray then, he had a roommate. Before the roommate resumed school, he belongs to all those families where they would take their children to a herbalist. So the herbalist said, "As you are going to that school, there are some students you must be aware of." Don't worry, that time I was just getting my work, we got serious. I know gay rank, so they don't mention my name. that was 2006. It was 2007. Yeah, I fall. Do you understand? But 2006. And they said, "Watch out for this guy. Herbalist, by divination, mention the student's name. His life is deep." Stop playing games. And for you, let me tell you something. A lot of people, a lot of Christians cannot contend. I'm telling you. Because you see, you've read the fruit of the Spirit, but you didn't read it well. A lot of Christians think that niceness is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, not niceness. Jesus was kind. He was not nice. I hope you know the difference. So you need to renew your mind about these things, because you see, the disposition of the average Christian will make them inefficient as an evangelist. Even the way we evangelize, nobody will be saved. I'm telling you. Some of you have seen it. Some people just stand on the road like this, sharing flyer. They'll do like this. They won't greet you. They're just like, who will be convinced like that? There is something in the Greek called anakazo. Compelling power. We're going to talk about it if we have time. You have to be more compelling than that. You have to develop some toughness, some consistency. You have to stand for Jesus. You're going to have to grow a spine. And for this to happen, you must renew your mind about what it means to be kind versus what it means to be nice. Niceness is not the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read a text. You know, when I heard this years ago, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was listening to a sermon. I think it was by Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. When he said this, I said, no, that didn't happen. I ran to the Bible, I checked, and it was there. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. Adalido pro sepele caprute levenikaya. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. It says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill you. So listen, the Pharisees came to him and said, you're on Herod's radar, he's gonna kill you. Would you like to know how Jesus responded? Look at the next verse. The Bible says, and he said to them, go and tell that what? Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. Meaning, come and stop me if you want. I dare you to try. My program is not going to change. Today, tomorrow, for 3 days, I will be here. Are you listening to me? Go and tell that fox. Woo! Imagine a pastor tweeted like that. Just saying. Maybe you don't understand. A nice person will not be crucified. It never dawned on you. I think Jesus came 3.5 years, was nice, and they still killed him. No, it's because many times he talked without filter, and he wasn't trying to be rude. The message requires it sometimes. Are you getting this? Jesus will say stuff like, woe to you Pharisees, hypocrites. Just imagine talking to religious elites like that. And bear in mind, at the time, he's 33 years old. You have not pictured it in context, in modern day context. He's 33. And he's talking to elders. It's Jesus though. I need to put that caveat so you don't get any ideas. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. Look at Matthew chapter 15. We'll read verse 12 to 14. Oh Lord, I delight in your word more than air that I breathe. Oh Lord, I in your word than my necessary food. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, 12 to 14. Then came his disciples. Jesus had been preaching. Then came his disciples and said unto him, let me use NKJV. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees are offended by what you're saying? Do you know the Pharisees are offended by what you're saying? And how did Jesus reply? Next verse. Everybody read together. The Bible says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. He was kind. He was not nice. Are you getting the picture? Because you see, if you go on Google, you get the wrong image. The picture of Jesus, you see, is someone who spends too much time in the bathroom using Jerry coils. Just coily hair. And he's just... You need to remove those mental models and get into the word and picture a Jesus who will enter the temple, see stuff that gets him angry, and gets a whip. If you have not pictured that Jesus, you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. Are you listening to me? Just imagine you were waiting to see Jesus. You went to see Jesus and you see him angrily flogging people. And there is chaos everywhere. They are running away. And it's... Jesus who will preach sermons and say, oh fools! You've not read that one? Kind, but not nice. And if you think you can get the gospel to prevail any other way, you are mistaken. Are you listening to me? You see, you don't know what you're up against. You won't win without a fight. It doesn't matter that you want to fight or not. There is war. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whether you want to fight or not, there is war. And you don't know what I know. You don't know some of the things behind the scenes. Mark my words. The strategy of the enemy in these last days, there will be three strategies against the church, amongst many other strategies. Number one, they will gaslight you. They will make you, oh my God. They will sell you the impression that because you are a Christian, you shouldn't have a voice. Just be silent and like a refuse dump, only receive all the nonsense and the insults we dump on you. Don't reply, not even with scriptures. Have no voice. They will gaslight you. For every time you take a stand, they will make you feel guilty. Mark my words. And when they do that, they'll move to the next step. The next step will be the step of abuse. You see, when you are quiet, you know, things I don't want to say. When you are quiet, then abuse will start. I won't say more than that. And then the third thing will be to exterminate the church. See, someone very influential in this country has admitted to me, the truth is, we just can't wait for a day where there is no more organized religion. Yes. And I told her, as long as I'm alive, no such day will come. And even when I am going, we will be many. Our children will hold the fort even greater than we did. Say loud amen.
Amen.
Listen, it takes a lot of audacity to tell a general overseer that. She told me to my face. Was that, you know, it was an exchange. Okay, we have a problem with this. I answered that. We have a problem with this. I answered that. We have a problem with this. You know what? The real issue is we don't want organized religion. Keep playing. If you're not careful, your children will ask you, where were you? What did you do with the gospel? So understand that every aspect of Christianity will take contention. Let me tell you something. Let me start with evangelism. I'll talk about evangelism and discipleship. When it comes to evangelism, a lot of people, they are not even compelling enough. They're not compelling enough. You know, I've told you the story because I really like the story. When you read about the great Yonggi Cho, how he gave his life to Christ, he said it was a young girl who came to him and kept preaching to him. And he would say no. She would come the next day and preach. He would say no. And you know, she was tenacious. She kept coming. And then one day he said no again, and she just fell on the floor and started crying. And so he said, is this serious like this? Okay, what should I say? Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Don't come and die in my house. Which kind of problem is this? He was so confused. I'll be preaching about Jesus. Just get that they cry. The great Yonggi Cho. That's how he got saved. Are you getting this? No, you just stand on the street. Nice. They know you don't like them. You are only there because they told you if you win a soul, you have star. You are there. You are there. You are seeing them as coupons. They know normally, if not be gospel, you don't care if they eat, if they are alive, if they are children in the hospital. You don't care. Just bam. Have you seen those memes? Where an evangelist will say, you say no. I have been preaching to you. all this why? How can God come down from heaven, die for you, then accept his love? You say no. I will show you today, you know? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 13 verse. Acts chapter 17 verse 2. Acts chapter 17 verse 2. Verse 2 and 3. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them. Come on, are you looking at this? 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't know that many times evangelism will take time. You get what I'm saying? Meanwhile, the same people might be sales executives in their company, and they will keep going. Oh God, buy it. Try them now. He says, no, you come the next day. Then he reached the gospel. You tried once. And then you just say, maybe it's not. You now embrace one false doctrine. That maybe it's not destined. Do you not realize sometimes it will take pressing? Pressing. Pressing. Okay, look at it this way. You may be insulted, and it's okay. Let me tell you something. We have created a business version of church. Business version. Business version. There are some things I'm trying to avoid talking about. But I will talk about it. Do you know how bad things have to have gotten for someone to say, I don't know what people say about this pastor? He's not magnetic. Magnetic? Are you a metal? You are not metallic. Not metallic either. Because you have to understand, now is PR. And some people miss the point. Some people were giving the wrong replies. He's magnetic now. He's charismatic now. You have missed the point. You think this is a PR job? You think a pastor is a model? What do you think a pastor is? What do you think our glory in is? Don't let the branding fool you. It's not about this. Please, are you listening to this? A lot of people don't know. Maybe there are people who don't join churches because the pastor is not fine. This is serious. We have lost it. We have missed it. There's a problem. So, it is very timely that in this month we are talking about contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Where Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence of speech, so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Or when he said, don't you see that amongst us there aren't many wise, aren't many noble after the flesh, that God has chosen the foolish things, the weak things amongst men. Come on, are you with me? So the next time anybody says that the pastor is not magnetic, tell them that's the power of the gospel. That God can use weak men. And that you are looking at fishermen and they are wondering where their eloquence and confidence is coming from. And then you bear record that they've been with Christ. That's the religion of the Bible. Say loud, amen. Amen. If you don't stand for these truths, you'll be lost. It will be lost. Problem deal. Magnetic. Acts chapter 19. We'll read from verse 8 to 9. From 8 to 10. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing. Everybody say disputing. It means sometimes you fight, you argue. Some of you don't know it's part of it. It's part of it. It's part of it. You know, I was watching a video about some pastors. They were debating theology. And one of them got angry and climbed the table and said, "What is wrong with you people?" Everybody just went. Interestingly, there's one of our pastors. They were arguing about church and all of that. In the office, he climbed the table and said, you are a liar. Let me tell you something. The reason I knew something was happening was, at that time, in that department, about 7 of them joined our church. They will come like this in a bus, all of them. What is going on? Because some people stood their ground. Are you listening to me? At least 3 or 4 of them are pastors today in this church. Same company. Different arguments. Miracles are not real. You are a liar. Climb table like this. Everybody say disputing. Maybe you don't understand. I hope you know it's not always comfortable to dispute. To have disputes. It's part of it. But you've been sold a brand of Christianity. And I say, "Oh, bless you, brother." Okay. I say, "Jesus is the way." "He's not the way." "Okay, sorry. Nobody will be saved like that. Nobody will be saved like that. When you preach, preach like you know what you're saying. Preach like you know what you're saying. When you preach, ask yourself, if not me, self, I go believe this thing where they talk. Dispute. They say no. You say yes. Are you listening to me? They say no 5 times. You say yes 15 times. Dispute. Not the person, but I say, no green. Please, is this in your Bible? Disputing and speaking and persuading. Listen, for how long? He spake boldly for the space of what? So 3 months. 3 months. 3 months. You know, I heard about some guys who were arguing doctrine, and they stood like this 12 hours, because you see, the person they were arguing against, he was wrong, but he was sound in the scriptures. So they had to nitpick every single verse one after the other, and then as soon as they were done, it took them 12 hours. No, there's a pastor in this nation too. We're arguing something from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. We started from Genesis 3. When we got to Hebrew, that's when he said, "I see what you're saying." Hey, God. We started from Genesis. You know, I said, "I see what you're saying." Like Thanos, I said, "Now my work is done." Let me tell you something. If you know Sabi fight, it will collect this thing from your generation. 3 months. What is the longest you've persuaded someone about Christ? What's the longest? You can toast 6 months. You cannot preach 3 months. When they said they don't agree, you were still, you insisted. Sister now. Always checking. She says she's in a relationship. You are checking every month to see if it will spoil. Always coming, checking back. What about the gospel?
about the gospel. Persuading the things concerning the kingdom. He says, but when divers were hardened, after three months.
Oh, are you ready for what I'm about to say? And now, this is an apostle. He didn't feel embarrassed. Are you listening to me? There is a dangerous trend in our generation where you get to a certain level of success in ministry and you stop being an evangelist. Because if they abuse you, your church members feel heartbroken. They feel heartbroken. You want a Gucci pastor. Transcendence. You may not realize it, but that's the brand. You don't see how wrong that is. A generation that finds it strange that a pastor is abused is in trouble. It means we are not used to pastors who evangelize. That's the same way. There was a time in this nation when churches were being burnt. We thought they were not prayerful. Is it not true? We're asking why. What happened? Were they not prayerful? Please, are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to renew your mind. He says, but when divers were hardened, after 3 months. So if you preach for 3 months and they don't agree, it doesn't mean you're not anointed. It just means you never see coconut head. Ah, God. He says, when they were hardened and believed not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. So he went to another place and continued disputing. This one's annoying, but let's go here. Do you realize most of Paul's letters was to fight? You know, most of Paul's letters were quarrelo. Let's mention them. Corinthians. Galatians. Most of them now quarrel. Even Timothy charged those who teach false doctrine. He mentioned some names. So I don't know. That's why we have been advised, contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Amen, somebody. There's a reason I want to read this text. Look at chapter 18, verse 28. This one was about Apollos. The Bible says, for he mightily convinced. Everybody say convinced. Meaning in evangelism, there is convincing. So listen, in evangelism, there is disputing. There is persuading. There is convincing. And all of these take time. All of these take time. All of these take time. He mightily convinced the Jews. So in evangelism, you are going to have to be compelling. Sometimes it won't be cute. Sometime next month or thereabouts, 2 months' time, there is a man, I'm flying to Abuja to argue with him. Now, argument. Because he started it. We're on a flight together. and he made a mistake. He's a Muslim and he wanted to preach to me. Because that day I wore ripped jeans, so he just thought. We were already too deep before he knew he was in problem. No, but he was impressed. He said, please give me your number. He said, I've talked to many Christians. Nobody. He said, I have many pastor friends. Nobody has ever made me think about it this way. I will go to his house. You understand? And then, the thing is, before I go, I will rehearse. Don't you understand? I will rehearse very well. Then I will go gently. How are you, sir? How is your family? I brought this gift for your children. Then. See, there's a reason it's called soul winning. It takes effort. Soul winning. Those days, I would devise many ways to start conversations. There was a time, every bike that drops me, I will preach to you. And the trick is this. I will make you assume that I'm new in the area. So when you drop me, I will say, sorry, is there any good church around this area? You now say, oh, there's one there, there's one there. And I say, which one is your own? Preaching don't start. Preaching don't start. I like the Jesus style of John 4, where he's already preaching to you before you realize. The lady thought, oh, this fine guy. He said, where is your husband? She said, I don't have, you know. She didn't know who she was talking to. She was already deep inside before she realized. She must have seen him from afar. He was carrying a bucket like this. Seen him from afar and adjusted. Now why she just say, where's your husband? The way you're looking at me, where's your husband? Omoloma, she said, I don't have. Madam, you have five. How can you have five and not remember? She must have forgotten. It's like she forgot. Oh my God. In discipleship too, it's going to take a lot. I want to show you a text. Turn your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. 1 Thessalonians, let me tell you something. Every good pastor is a paranoid pastor. Paranoid. You cannot just travel, leave the church. You have to be anxious in a good way. Godly anxiety. Are they in the faith? Are they praying? Are they growing? I can tell you one thing. I watch everything. There are some people who climb this stage to lead prayer. When they are done, I call them. Come. You have not been praying anywhere. Because if you hold mic, if you are trying to take us to a place you have not been to in a while, it will show. That's all my replace, so that you won't spread the lukewarmness. They say, hey, that person to come. Go and carry the mic. No, come and spread one breeze. Everybody will start sleeping now. Godly paranoia. See, have you ever had a friend that stands with you in Christ? When they have started sleeping, you know, there are some friends you try to avoid. They will pick it. When they are standing beside you in church, say, sister, come sit down. You didn't pray. What's going on? You don't show up in church. They will show up in your house. In your house. Ah. They will knock the door. How are you? What's happening? There's some people, they won't allow you date a fool. Have you ever had friends like that? They will spoil it for you. May God give you friends like that. Say a loud amen. You know, there are some people who come and tell my wife and I, we're dating. I say, oh, okay. When they go, both of us will hold hands and agree. Scatter. Scatter. Eh? Not once has he not scattered. God is faithful. There's nobody who have prayed that it should spoil, that it has not spoiled. Not one. There's a brother that went to PK and said, and this is the girl I'm dating. He said, did your mother stop praying for you? What's good? How can you? What's the matter? If like, you know, get prayer life again. I mean. That one is speaking on me. Me, not too much English. I scatter. Because I love you now. You know, there are some people, close friends, the best, if they marry the wrong person like this, your friendship has ended. You know, right? And some people, if they marry the wrong person, you can't visit them again. Can't visit them again. There are some people, if they marry the wrong person, that's the end of the gospel. You know. So, wait now. Put yourself in my shoes. I will mentor someone 10 years. The person is on fire. Then she will now go and marry a deep freezer. No. Eh? No. No. My God does not flop. It does not flop. It must spoil, sir. Scatter. Sorry. Baliata Kaya. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause I could no longer forbear. Sorry, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, take me back. I just made an error. 1 Thessalonians. For this cause, I could no longer forbear. There was a godly paranoia. Separation anxiety. I've not been to this church. Are they okay? I could no longer forbear. I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you. And our labor be in vain. See, there are some church members. I stalk you on social media. There are people I send screenshot. Why did you like this picture? Oh, yes. You like this. What is interesting here? Explain to me. Explain to me. That's the way. Disciple, that's the Bible way. Lest the tempter. And then also in the general defense of the faith, go back to that Jude chapter 1, Jude verse 3. I want to show you verse 4. Why this is important. I have to move with the speed of light now. Jude verse 4. It says, for certain men crept in unnoticed. Oh my God. Notice the tenses. They crept in unnoticed. It's usually subtle. And if you're not careful, you will wonder, how did we get here? Let me tell you something. The brazen audacity these days. I will say this, please don't take it the wrong way, but it needs to be said. You know, a church had a new building and they were launching the new building. The inaugural service of that new building, they brought ladies to twerk on the stage. And yes, they all wore miniskirts and they were dancing to Beyoncé. Yes. Church. If you would think I'm joking. Let me tell you something. You know, I saw an old tweet by Charles Spurgeon. You know, when a preacher wants to preach and uses something extreme to warn people, he said the time will come when the church will need comedians to entertain them. He was saying it as an extreme thing. It don't happen. I like fun. I like good stuff. But on a Sunday morning, he get one man. On a Sunday morning. See, it will never be right. No matter how you... Do you understand what I'm saying? It will never be right. It will never be right. A lazy generation that is complaining that maybe the church is always singing new songs. One of the songs that was sung that day was 10 years old. Meanwhile, you are following secular artists that have new releases every year, and you know the songs word for word. The songs are being projected is not enough. You just want to give God the barest minimum. Everything complain. The prayer is too long. They are doing tongues too much. Everything complain. He says they crept in unawares. People were not watching until it became the norm. Are you listening to me? The reason people complain about church being done properly is because in a lot of other places it's not done properly. And that's why the people who are doing church properly, it looks like they're doing too much. That there are things that Jesus said that are considered offensive today. That Jesus said. Things in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to end with this because time is fast spent. We need to continue this next week. I want to point you to the spiritual aspect of this war. Understand this. That Paul went through a lot of persecution. Paul was arrested. Paul was beaten. Paul went through a lot of perils. He documented all of them in 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. But yet, Paul recognized that there were spiritual entities behind all of this. He knew it wasn't a war against the government. Despite all that he had been through, he said, "For we wrestle not." Are you getting this? Against flesh and blood. Recognize this. Recognize this, that sometimes the devil is pulling the strings behind the scenes. Be discerning. There are some things you should respond with prayer. Respond with fasting. Let me tell you something. Even a normal depraved person cannot come and tweet, "I cannot wait for this person's downfall." A normal person can't tweet that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Wake up. There are spirit entities behind these things. Spirit entities. That even unbelievers were saying, "Guy, you are so vile. You think it's ordinary?" You think it's a game? He said, we wrestle not. Please, are you listening? Help me tell the person by your side. Say, we wrestle not. Oh my God. Recognize where the war is coming from. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. You know, there's a powerful text. Oh my God. I know you know the text, but there was something you never paid attention to in 2 Kings. When this great army came against the prophets, and the servant of the prophet was petrified. And he's saying, look at these soldiers against us. What did the prophet say? Please, I want 3 people to come. The 3 of you come. Never forget this. Are you with me? Climb. All right. You come this way. Just. So now, and then, so what did the prophet tell his servants? Fear not. Did he say, they are more with us than them? What did he say? They that are with us are more than they that are with them. So it wasn't talking about the physical actors. We have angels, they have demons. It looks like a physical battle, but this is spiritual. They that are with the soldiers are just actors. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. We wrestle not, brothers and sisters. Come on, are you listening to this? Sometimes you need to open your eyes. Sometimes the problem is not the government. Sometimes the problem is not some folks on social media. Sometimes the devil behind the scene. Come on. God bless you. So the Lord may need to open your eyes. The Lord may need to open your eyes. You know, I was casting out a demon from someone. And some demons always like to brag. You know, so he said, I was the demon in the captain of the 50 that confronted Elijah. First and foremost, I'm like, bro, you're old. Gosh. And then I was just like, oh, so it was a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle. It wasn't just some government that did not like the prophetic. It was spiritual. That demons can animate people to fight against the church. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Not only is the battle not carnal, our weapons too are not carnal. Are you listening to me? They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Every plant, tamandoko palia tekaya, that our Heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out. And I want to show you something. If you are descending as a member of this church, you should know. Let me tell you something. Anytime this church is persecuted, rejoice. Check it as a pattern. It's always a sign that something great is coming. Always a sign. Check it. And the devil wants to do that to affect our heart so that we cannot receive what God wants to give us. I'm just going to end with this text. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Are you being blessed? So Jesus is programming our mentality. You know, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Or like someone called it, the attitudes to be, right? Matthew chapter 5 verse 11. He says, blessed are you when men revile you. When they say vile and wicked things about you. He says, revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things falsely for my sake. Listen, he didn't say take it like a man. He didn't just say that. He said, blessed are you. Do you understand? It means it's something to be happy about. Let me tell you something. A lot of Christians are not trained in spiritual things. So they're only happy when they preach the gospel and someone believes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you aware that if you evangelize, no matter the outcome, you are blessed? If the person wins, if the soul is won, you are blessed. If the person rejects the gospel and insults you, you are still blessed. It's a win-win. In evangelism, it's a win. There are only three outcomes. It's either the soul is won, or a seed is sown for someone else to, do you understand, water, or the person rejects, and you are still blessed in the rejection. Preaching will always bring a blessing. So he's programming your mind. When men speak terrible things, you know, the Bible says that the disciples counted it, you know, they counted it for joy that they had the privilege to suffer for Christ, that they went to preach and they were flogged. They went back rejoicing. To rejoice when you are flogged, it must be a revelation, not an emotion. Because you feel like crying, you feel downtrodden, but to rejoice. To rejoice. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are a preacher and they have not dragged you before, cry. 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 It means you have not said anything that pokes at the world, not once. The Bible calls the cross an offense. Do you understand? The cross is an offense. You can't preach Christ and everybody's smiling at you all the time. Are you getting this? So he says, take me back. Oh, that was a good text you showed. All right. It says, when men speak all manner of evil falsely for my sake. Now, listen. Verse 12, you have to respond in faith. Because I'm telling you, it will never make sense. Look at verse 12. Everybody read together. It says what? And what? He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. He said, because great is your reward. Great is your reward. You know another thing I've noticed? It's always free publicity. Maybe you have not noticed. Because usually when they're dragons, people say, what is CCI? You know? What is it? Thank you. There are people who didn't know. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Oh my God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, some people were reaching out to me and I was just like, was I arrested? You don't understand. You know what the gospel is? I can die for this thing. You think this is a joke to me? I can die for this thing. Then because of some tweets, I lose my sleep. I'm bigger. Do you understand? Join all of them. It's scripture. Greater is he that is in me. Come on, are you getting this? We are just starting on. I said, we are just starting. The angels are just getting started. The message is just beginning to spread. Come on, are you with me? The gospel in every language, every tribe, every tongue. Hey, we cannot be stopped. A move that cannot be stopped. Come on, are you listening to me? Greater is he that is in you. Hey, Kapale! Hey! Glory! 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 Rebakaya. We've seen the future. 1 billion souls in 10,000 cities. We have just begun. Hallelujah. Listen, there are things to learn, and you keep getting better. Pick your battles. It's not every time you reply. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then for God's sake, I am a man. I don't want to have to tear my cloth like the apostles to remind you. If someone calls me by name, I beg you, it's not an insult. Are you listening to me? Pick your battles. And sometimes look away. But at the same time, You think we came here, we got here by PR? Say with me, say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Speak in tongues, can you?
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.